Last night, the vice presidential candidates clashed over taxes.
Joe Biden has been very clear. He will not raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000 a year.
He said he's going to repeal the Trump tax cut.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
We'll tell you what both campaigns are calling for and what it means for you.
The big difference between the Biden tax plan and the Trump tax bullet points is one is a plan and one is bullet points.
And what's happening with the recovery? We'll look at the new jobless claims. Plus, the Nobel Prize in Literature goes to American poet Louise Gluck. We'll explain why judges say her work is so timely. It's Thursday, October 8th. I'm Shelby Holliday for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The Justice Department is charging six people with plotting to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, according to a criminal complaint unsealed today. Michigan has been the site of protests over Whitmer's public health measures during the pandemic. Officials say the alleged conspirators, five from Michigan and one from Delaware, conducted surveillance on Whitmer's vacation home at least twice in preparation for their attack. Our senior Midwest correspondent, Joe Barrett, has more on what's in the FBI's complaint.
The FBI noticed these guys early in the year when they were posting on social media that they were interested in throwing over certain entities of government. They weren't specific about what that was, but the FBI started to track these guys. And their plan was to sort of create their own nation based on the Bill of Rights, where they'd have autonomy. And, you know, they talked about killing different people they called dictators, and they kind of focused on Governor Whitmer.
In economic news, initial U.S. unemployment claims fell slightly to 840,000 last week, still above pre-pandemic highs, and a sign that the labor market recovery could be slowing down. Meanwhile, the Trump administration and Democrats are still at odds over additional stimulus measures. President Trump called off negotiations on a multi-trillion-dollar relief package Tuesday and started pushing for Congress to instead pass individual relief bills. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi were expected to talk today about potential aid for airlines, which are planning deep job cuts. But Pelosi signaled that she wouldn't support a standalone airline relief bill without a broader aid package. And President Trump said he would not participate in the second presidential debate next Thursday after the nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates said the town hall event in Miami would be held virtually out of health and safety concerns. Instead of participating in the debate, Trump's campaign said he'd hold a rally next week. And it called on the committee to add another debate to the schedule on October 29th, just days before the election. Our reporter Eliza Collins says that doesn't appear likely.
The Biden campaign responded to that and basically said that's not going to work, that the president's decision to boycott the first debate doesn't mean that he gets to change the schedule. And so the Biden campaign said the last debate they would participate in is the October 22nd debate, which is what was scheduled to be the final debate.
Speaking of debates, there was a lot of disagreement about the candidates' tax plans in last night's VP debate. Coming up after the break, our tax reporter Rich Rubin will shed some light. Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic Senator Kamala Harris clashed on a variety of issues in last night's vice presidential debate. One big point of contention, Joe Biden's tax plan.
Joe Biden has been very clear. He will not raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000 a year.
He said he's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
The important is you said the truth. Right. Joe Biden said twice in the debate last week that he's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts. That was tax cuts that gave the average working family $2,000 in a tax break every single year.
That is absolutely not true.
Is he only going to repeal part of the Trump tax cuts?
If you don't mind letting me finish, we can then have a conversation, okay?
Please.
Okay.
So what's the truth? Our tax reporter, Rich Rubin, has been looking into both of the candidates' tax plans, and he's here to explain. Hey, Rich.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So who's right on this issue? Would Biden repeal the Trump tax cuts that have allowed the average working family to keep $2,000 more every year? Or is he only going to repeal the tax cuts that benefit wealthy Americans?
Yeah, so it's the latter. The Biden plan is actually quite clear. They would repeal the Trump tax cuts only on households making above $400,000, and they've got other tax increases above that, and they've got additional tax cuts below that level that they're proposing for people. But both Vice President Biden and Senator Harris have misstated their own plan, which is not necessarily the best way to communicate publicly, but briefly in that sort of very confusing, shouty debate that the president and Mr. Biden had last week, he said he would repeal the tax cuts. And then in the complete sentences debate that the vice presidential candidates had last night, they talked and she said that, in fact, she would repeal, that they would repeal them on day one and without any qualification about income levels. And Vice President Pence jumped right on that because the tax cuts absolutely would, you know, repealing them would raise taxes on lots of Americans well below $400,000. So then Senator Harris had to come back and say, no, that's not actually what we mean. We mean above $400,000.
Tell me about this $400,000 number. How did the Biden campaign land on that?
So the idea there is to really set a level that you just can't be middle class if you're there. They're not saying that $398,000 is middle class, but they're trying to set a number so comfortably high that, and it actually ends up being about 1.8% of households, more, about double that in places like Connecticut, and half or less than that in places like West Virginia. But still, even if you're 3-4%, that's still not middle class. And so they wanted to set it that high, but they also wanted to set it low enough so that there's a lot of tax revenue to be gained. And so they can, in fact, both from companies, and we can talk about who pays corporate taxes, but from companies and from high-income households, they can raise $3 to $4 trillion to pay for a lot of their proposals. And so that's the idea, is $400,000 kind of gets you both. It gets you out of the core middle class and still at a place where there's a lot of money to be raised. And what the Trump tax cuts did, the 2017 tax law, it sort of created some political space for them to say, we're just rolling back what they got a few years ago, not sort of going that far beyond it.
Biden's plan also includes raising the capital gains tax rate and imposing the 12.4% Social Security payroll tax on wages above $400,000. He also wants to repeal the $10,000 cap on state and local taxes. That's a lot of stuff, but what does it mean and how would that impact a family?
Yeah, if you're in that top 2% of American households, you know, the closer you are to $400,000, the less impact you would see. But as you get higher up, those capital gains tax increases really hit on households making more than $1 million. There would be some significant tax increases. There's no doubt about that. They're not hiding that. Those households would pay a lot more. And it's going to depend on the particular mix of income you have. The potential repeal of the cap on state and local tax deductions cuts the other way. That does have a big benefit for high income households, particularly in states with high income taxes like New York and New Jersey and California. So we'll just have to kind of see how that all fits together. But, you know, if you're in that group, you're going to be facing some significantly higher taxes.
All right. And what about corporate taxes? Biden wants to raise those, but who would that impact?
Yeah, so he's got a significant, like about 40% of the revenue he's trying to raise comes from raising corporate taxes, both the rate and then a bunch of other provisions. Economists say that most of the corporate tax falls on people who own stock and who own capital, and some of it in the long run falls on workers through lower wages. And so when the Biden campaign talks about that $400,000 line, they describe it as direct taxes. And so they're not including the corporate tax in that. And so, look, a lot of stock ownership, the majority of stock ownership is higher income households, or it's held by, endowments and universities and foreigners. But there are plenty of people below $400,000 who own stocks directly, who own stocks through 401ks, who are participants in defined benefit pension plans that own stocks. And so indirectly, they would feel that burden to the extent that that changes the values of those companies, hurts stock prices. But it's hard to know. You know, my general rule is taxes matter, but not as much as we all might think. So, you know, for households who don't own stock, which is a lot of people who don't have access to a 401k plan at work, there wouldn't be that direct effect in the short run. But for people who do, that's, you know, part of what you're getting with a Biden administration is rolling back part of those corporate tax cuts that happened a few years ago.
Got it. And has President Trump laid out a clear tax plan for his second term?
No, we're still at the bullet points phase, even with a few weeks to go in the campaign. They've said that they want to cut the capital gains tax rate to 15% from 20. They have said they want to expand the opportunity zones, these capital gains tax cuts for investing in low-income areas, but they haven't explained how. They've sort of teased some sort of broader middle-income tax cut, but haven't detailed it. I think you can expect that in a second Trump term, if Republicans have full control, they'll do more tax cuts and extend some of the things that are expiring from their previous law. And if there's divided government, then all that will happen is there'll be some fighting over things that are expiring. And there are mostly some business tax provisions that expire in the next couple of years. The big individual tax cuts don't expire till the end of 2025 and, you know, beyond the end of a second term. So the big difference between the Biden tax plan and the Trump tax bullet points is one is a plan and one is bullet points. You know, the Biden campaign hasn't really put out what you would describe as legislative text, but we don't really expect that in a campaign. But the level of detail and amount of clarity we have about where they would go as opposed to kind of the general direction that the president would go in a second term.
So it seems like, tell me if this is a fair characterization. It seems like President Trump wants more tax cuts, and a President Biden would want to raise taxes, but only for a certain small, specific group of Americans.
Yes, and a President Biden would want to have some targeted tax cuts for some middle-income households. And I think it's important when you think about the Biden plan to think about what it's paying for. So you can argue that tax increases on companies and high-income households might hurt the economy, hurt savings and investment. And the Biden campaign's point is you have to look beyond that. You have to look at what it's paying for. If it's paying for productive investments in education and infrastructure and climate, that the long run benefits are worth whatever economic drag there might be from those tax increases.
Well, seeing that at this point, we don't even know if there will be a second presidential debate. I'm really glad you were here to help us understand that. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, happy to do it.
And finally, the Nobel Prize in Literature was awarded today to poet Louise Gluck. She's the first American to win the prize in this category since Bob Dylan in 2016. Our arts and culture writer Brenda Cronin says the judges praised Gluck's work, calling it fitting for the times.
One of her themes is radical change, where, quote, the leap forward is made from a deep sense of loss. And Ms. Gluck also has written a great deal about sort of isolation and family stresses and the strains on relationships, which one might see some parallels today with lockdowns and quarantines. She writes, quote, almost brutally straightforward images of painful family relations. But they also say that her voice is, quote, full of humor and biting wit. So renewal is also one of her themes. And it's important to remember that while, yes, Louise Gluck is certainly an unvarnished poet of the human condition in all its good and bad phases, she also offers some hope, some promise for the future.
You can read Gluck's poem Snowdrops, which she won the Pulitzer Prize for, at WSJ.com. And that's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Shelby Holliday for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.